Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Thanks so much for staying with us. I said I'm going to very happily take your calls on 086-000-0959 to hear your thoughts on who should be marrying who in these coalition discussions, especially for those of you who did vote. You know, what would you like to see your party do? Who should they get into this marriage with? I've asked Thembi Safaguda, Senior Research Fellow at Africa-Asia Dialogue, to weigh in on the subject. Thembi, thanks again for making time for us. Good evening and welcome.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so it's obviously crunch time, and it's difficult because these numbers, you know, need for political parties to discuss matters, especially in the wake of the fact that the ANC is now not the majority, an outright majority party. It has to talk to somebody. But when you looked at the campaigns, when you look at specifically, for instance, with the DA campaign, the entire campaign was about, you know, unseating the ANC. So let's talk about what has to go into these discussions when they do have.
Well, I think for the ANC, has to consider its membership and senior leadership. I know that they've said that they want to put the interests of the country first, meaning that the people that voted for the DA and people that voted for the ANC are majority of the people in this country, irrespective of their skin color, because I think most of us forget that white people are also South Africans when we talk about these coalitions. So DA-ANC coalition will be the majority South Africans, not necessarily the revolutionary part or part of the what's known as the former liberation movement coalition, which included the Tripartite Alliance. But I think it's ANC is forced at this point to look beyond its historical relationship, but to look at what is South Africa of today. And South Africa of today is multiracial, it's multicultural. But I think they are going to be certainly going to be butting of heads between the two, especially when it comes to matters of foreign policy and matters of economics, whereas the DA is more of liberal politics and espouses free market. ANC, on the other hand, is totally different in terms of its alliance and understanding and appreciation of the economic intervention that seeks to develop and empower people who have been previously disadvantaged.
So for you, you know, what would make then sense? As you said, you know, these are very different parties, and what they've offered their constituencies are promises that if they had to go into this coalition together, they're going to have to compromise quite a bit, not a little bit, on their stance on things.
Yeah, I think what separate and what further complicates the discussion is the previous black and white issue, which has always been a mainstay of our South African political rhetoric. And I think for the first time, we're going to find a situation where we are going to be forced to really live with this new multicultural, multiracial politics, which have always separated and kept some kind of, you know, a clear distance between political parties in this country. And this is an opportunity, I think, where we'll start seeing a proper multicultural, multiracial politics, which will come with some sort of compromises from both sides. Mm. And unfortunately, at the moment, those that are arguing for anti-DA coalition are not arguing it because of they're not arguing because of the big policy differences, but it's mainly the accusations, true or false, of what the DA espouses, and that's where the challenge is. There is that Vetkefar kind of mentality that exists and is entrenched within the ANC that would never speak sense to in inverted commas racist DA, but at the same time DA has got its own Swatkefar position that they've been peddling over the years. And I think for both parties, all of these positions are coming home to roost, because whether they are true or not, they have continued to separate South Africa into two different political poles. And I think for the first time we have this opportunity where we might just see an extension of some sort of, you know, reconciliation, for lack of a better term, between the left and right in this country, who are currently white and blacks. So I think it's an opportunity, and it can only be realized down the line. I don't think immediately we're going to realize this opportunity that has presented itself at the moment.
Well, isn't this a threat to both parties? Because we are looking to the 2026 elections, and are they both not at risk to losing the constituencies that actually voted for them, and not all of those voters, because, as you're saying, their campaigns were quite resentful of the other? Are they not looking to, is this not a threat where they can literally push those people out to the further left?
I don't think so. I think it's an opportunity
all right,
for the next...
with the DA.
I think the next is an opportunity for the next generation, a generation that's... born, most of them are born after 1994, you are likely to see a new type of politics emerging. And I think it has to be given a chance. I'm not saying I'm writing off MK, EFF, ANC coalition, but this opportunity has to be grabbed by both hands, at least by the next generation, not our generation, unfortunately, who still have their own entrenched position and stereotypes about what happened in the past and what should happen moving forward. I think what this opportunity presents is something really likely to become a true and real South African social, political and economic reality moving forward. You might just see an emergence of something new that will permanently consist of both the DA and the ANC, and it might come up with a new name, but that's the responsibility and accountability of the generation that will take this country forward. So I think it's a brave step. We have to embrace it. And I can only see good out of it. I can only see a true reconciliation and incorporation of racial, previous racial divided politics in this country. So if you really sit and relax and just try and analyze it, I think it might just bring something that we never anticipated.
So we now have the MK party that's rejecting the results. They have categorically told us that they want a re-election, not even a recount. How do you think whoever steps up is going to have to manage, you know, and bring the MK party back into the fold? What needs to happen?
Well, I think they're in the fold. I think they're just trying to kick the can down the road. By the way, I'm of the view that the NK party surprised themselves with this victory. And they won and they didn't know what to do with it. It reminds me of what happened to Donald Trump when he also won in 2016. Mm-hmm. And soon after that, there were a lot of resignations, if you remember, in the United States. Mm-hmm. I think we would like to see something similar with the NK party. They've got no offices. There's no policy. I mean, you saw the embarrassment of senior officials interviewed and asked about very important questions on the economy of this country, and they couldn't answer. So this is a situation that they find themselves. I think they have to have some, like, you know, quick education in terms of what they really stand for. At the moment, I think they've just taken everything from the ANC, and that's what they're going to try and repeat, because it is an ANC party. And it will make sense, for example, for the ANC to reform a coalition with the MK, because they are the same party. 6 months ago, they were part and parcel of the same organization. So it will make sense. My only concern, of course, is that they still embrace very archaic politics. Politics of tribalism. We've seen Jacob Zuma speaking in Zulu now and then singing Zulu songs and all of that. It's the encouragement of tribalism, which I think it's very archaic, backward politics. And that's why I think that the coalition that will involve the IFP, DA and ANC might just be the right thing for the future of this country. A country that's got several ethnic groups and racial groups need a party or parties that will embrace that diversity. I don't think it will be prudent for us to be encouraging this Zulu nationalism and narrow tribalism that we see emerging in this country in the form of MK. And if MK does thrive, chances are we're going to have this country further polarized along the ethnic lines, which again has got its own trapping of internal conflict. So for those reasons, I'm of the view that a DA, ANC, IFP coalition, as painful as it may look for people who come from this previously disadvantaged and apartheid era, it might just present new opportunities for future generations of this country.
Then let's talk about why then parties like the Action SA and BOSA and Rise Mzansi didn't do as well as we thought they were, because obviously we were looking at other things, social media and so on, not a great barometer. But let's talk to us about why we saw the number of South Africans entrust their votes with MK Party as opposed to these other new offerings.
Well, I think MK Party, these are disgruntled ANC members, most of whom were sidelined by the ANC when President Jacob Zuma was ousted from the party, from the leadership, and most of them did go President Jacob Zuma. And there was some sort of page, if you remember, of those that supported the administration of Jacob Zuma. And these are the people who are grieved, and they came back, of course, when this was formed. It was time for them to come back into politics. Importantly, it was a payback time and revenge, in inverted commas, against the ANC. So that's key. So if there was no split, if there was no Jacob Zuma, you are likely to have ANC with the same numbers, if not few digits less, than compared to what it had in 2019. ANC would have had at least 50 plus, as far as I'm concerned, because it's very clear that the people that moved from ANC did join MK, and those are the people that have voted for the MK. Regarding BOSA and Action SA, again, you know, there's skepticism about, you know, the, in inverted commas again, the ankle tombs. And Musi Maimane and Herman Mashaba are seen, and this is going to be the legacy that will follow them almost for the rest of their political careers, as Uncle Tom's, those that sold the struggle and decided then to join a white party, even though there was no compelling, no serious push for them to do so. So it's going to be very difficult for South Africans to forget that. It's also going to be very difficult for them to cleanse themselves of that position, because they are still seen, for lack of a better term, as Uncle Tom's. They went and they joined a DA at the time when the black, formerly or previously disadvantaged constituency was still trying to reconcile and, understand the reality or the current social political reality that presented itself at the time. And to have had black people then deciding to join a political party, it was seen as, again, a few of blacks who betrayed the cause and decided to join the enemies or the enemies of the liberation. And I think that's why they will continue to struggle in terms of entrenching themselves and presenting themselves as true leaders in this multicultural society of South Africa.
And was South Africa not ready for new leaders in the form of Rise Mzansi?
I think, yes, they are ready. But again, even in Rise Mzansi, it failed to counter the narrative and accusations that came much, much earlier on from people such as Julius Malema and the like, who said that they were sponsored by the white monopoly capital of this country. And the Rise Mzansi did not do enough to prove that was incorrect. They didn't do enough to prove that they didn't get a lot of funding and donations from the white parties. And they find themselves in this situation. I think it's something that it should have been demystified or pushed back earlier on, but I think for them, leaving those accusations hanging led again to a number of voters to think that they are just a perpetuation and continuation of the white agenda, which seeks to continue oppressing the majority in this country. And that's why I think they find themselves in this complicated position.
What do you think the MK Party's future looks like without former President Jacob Zuma?
I don't think there's an MK Party without President Zuma. And this is a problem with these big names, including the EFF, by the way, UDM, all of these political parties that draw strength from political leaders, a cult-like leadership, is problematic. And I think if you look at the MK Party, I don't see MK Party having a life outside Jacob Zuma, because Jacob Zuma is MK Party. He's the one who actually is a reservoir of political economic policies of the ANC party, him being part or was part of the senior leadership of the ANC. And they've got one ambition. Their ambition is to topple President Cyril Ramaphosa. I'm not quite sure what's going to happen when Cyril Ramaphosa leaves the ANC, whether they'll change their mind. The fact that at the moment the ANC refuses to speak to them is because their condition is that they'll only speak to the ANC if President Cyril Ramaphosa leaves. So I don't see any future of the ANC party without Jacob Zuma.
Do you think President Cyril Ramaphosa will serve out his second term?
Well, the cult of the ANC is that when the president reaches the tail end of his tenure as the leader of the ANC, there's a tendency, and now we can confirm that, of course, having seen what happened to both President Zuma and Thabo Mbeki, that there's always this impatience from the deputy president of those of that organization to occupy the place of power. And I don't think President Cyril Ramaphosa is going to last or finish his term. He's going to be a lame duck very soon, especially when everybody else within the leadership realizes that the power will be shifted and transferred to the deputy president of the ANC, Paul Mashatile. You are likely to start seeing many of them, moving their allegiance to Paul Mashatile. And I think what's even more frustrating or concerning at the moment is that we are told that both of them differ in terms of coalition preferences. President Cyril Ramaphosa is for the DAIFP coalition, while Deputy President Paul Mashatile is of the EFF MK coalition. So that fundamental difference, I think, is also likely to increase the cleavage and hasten the end of President Cyril Ramaphosa's tenure as the leader of the ANC.
Thembisa Fakude, thank you so much for your time. Senior Research Fellow at Africa Asia Dialogues.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.